Welcome back to the Sojo Show. We are so glad you are here. I am alongside by, I'm not going to say partner in crime. I'm going to say co-host.
Hey, oh, hey, I like that. That's
That's not
fancy.
official. I'm here with AJ. And we are still working through Promises of the Cross because we are coming close to Easter. If you are listening to us fairly live, it is the middle-ish of March. Unbelievably so. And
Unbelievably.
I know, right? And we have an episode today that is a very short verse, but a very big promise. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
yes. And I love the conversation we have about this because we all have, well, I won't say we all have enemies, but we all have opposing
We all
forces
have
in
an
our lives.
enemy. We all have an
And
in one
we all,
enemy at least.
yes, in common. And so this really addresses all of those issues that come up when you have an opposing force in your life, whether it's even your own conscience or your own self-condemnation.
Right. So this promise comes from Romans. Promise comes from Romans 8:31. And it is a powerful promise that is important for anyone who has ever felt alone, lonely, defeated, felt like you were just being beat down by life, by the enemy, and that you didn't know where else to turn. This promise is just quite simply that God is for you. God is for you, and God is for us. And when we are trusting in Him and trusting in the beauty of the work of Christ on the cross, then we have this promise and we have this assurance. So that's what we're going to chat about today.
Yep, this is one promise we all need, so stay tuned for the episode.
Welcome to the Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's Word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together. Welcome to the Sojo Show, everybody, with Jen and AJ.
Hello.
We are in the middle of our Praying the Promises of the Cross challenge, which means we are in the middle of our series.
Those are cute shoes.
They're cute toenails, too.
I didn't know them. I've not seen those shoes.
You have not?
No.
They're sandals, everybody. They are yellow.
They're yellow.
They're yellow
She's
sandals.
So sporty. We're together, by the way.
We are together. So
She's,
obviously.
She does not have her foot up on Zoom.
Jen is chasing rabbits already.
Just thinking that is so random.
Seconds into the podcast episode.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying? Praying the promises of the cross. We're doing that right now.
Yes. So this is the series we are
called Promises.
Trying.
Very creatively called Promises of the Cross series.
Yes, that we're trying to record.
We're doing it. So we're taking our promises out of Romans 8 because there's like a gazillion of them. I mean, at least 39.
At least 39. Because there's 39 verses. Maybe even
maybe
more than that. Probably more than that. But we are only picking
one.
One for today.
Today, yes.
Yes. So we are going to get to that in a minute. But just a minute ago, Jen said something really strange to me. She said, we want to talk about Cruella de Vil. So I don't know what this is, but I'm going to let you just
okay, well,
kick that right on off.
So here's the thing. So we were thinking about enemies, right? And neither one of us have mortal enemies, shockingly.
Right. That we know of. If you are one of ours, please don't let us know. I mean,
she said, maybe I'll just ask you if anyone hates you. Like, what?
Do you have a hater?
Do you have an enemy? So we don't have any enemies. So we were thinking about what enemies, you know, like maybe a superhero enemy or something like that. And neither one of us are really super big into that either. But literally at the same time, we both thought of Cruella de Vil.
We did.
Who is really super, super creepy because
she is creepy.
She skins puppy dogs.
Did you have to say it
well,
out loud?
Does.
That's awful.
Shit.
Like awful.
And coats with them. Dalmatian coats.
Bad.
It's awful. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I don't know how to recover from it.
I mean, I'm traumatized. Because you actually said it.
So she's
for
evil.
All of our ears to hear.
She's evil and she's an enemy. And
she's definitely a dog's enemy.
She definitely is. But you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. She is a cartoon.
So please don't bring her to life.
She is a cartoon. I guess she did get put to she did get brought to life on the silver screen, right?
I think so. Because I did. Seen a person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what was her name? She was a famous person.
Yeah, I know.
It's not Susan Sarandon.
And I can totally see the hair.
I can see her.
I can too. And that black and white. Boy, so, I can see it.
Oh, what's her name? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is she is fictional. However, mm-hmm. The reason that I was going down this path to begin with was not completely random. It's because we do indeed have enemies. You mm-hmm. and I do not have mortal enemies because we are not superheroes, thank heavens. Mm-hmm. However, there is an enemy in the world.
There is.
Okay, there is an enemy. That's where we are going with this because we're going to talk about Romans 8, 31. And would you like to read it?
Yes, I would love to read it.
I shall give you my Bible since you do not have yours open.
Okay, she has to mention that and bring that up. I think that was intentional. Okay, so verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's like a maybe 15 word verse that is super powerful.
Super duper powerful.
Super powerful.
Super powerful. And you know, this is, and of course, if you look at the context of all of Romans 8.
Yes.
If you look at the context of it, when it's talking about who can be against us, isn't that what it says there?
Yes. Who can be against us?
Yeah. Going up, it's the whole chapter is just talking about the beauty of our salvation, right?
Well, yeah, but let's talk about that for just a second. Like who actually can be against us? Like we have things, we have people, we have forces that can be against us. Like we can experience legitimate opposition, even though we may not have like an enemy hater person in our lives. Some of us do. Some of us, I guarantee, has people who are against you. I know a friend right now who has a family member who literally undermines her every chance she absolutely gets.
Well, that's really sad.
It's very, very sad. Mm-hmm. And stirs up all kinds of strife and relational discord in her life. And it has for decades. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, that literally is somebody who is against her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then of course there are the powers that are against us, the principalities and powers that are against us. And there is an enemy at work against us. There is such a thing as spiritual warfare.
Right. For a believer. That's
for believers. Real. Yes. But before we talk about the enemy, I like the way it's talking about what then shall we say to these things? So kind of going back again to a couple verses before, because the first thing, because when we look up to the passage just above it, it is talking about this, I think we have a complete different episode on this, the unbreakable chains. But it's talking about for those he foreknew, he predestined, and then he called, and then he justified, and then he glorified. Okay, so that's this whole bit before that. And so this, what then shall we say? It's again, it's looking back. It's like, so now what can we say when we have this knowledge in our bank? And the knowledge is we have been saved. If you have been saved, you have been called, you have been justified, and you are being glorified. You will be glorified. So because of this, because there's no doubt in this, then we can say this next point, which is God is for us, who can be against us? So mm-hmm. all these things that you're talking about that are true enemies, and we know that they are, you know, really are of super little consequence.
They are, but I think it is important for us to acknowledge that they do exist, you know, and I'm specifically sitting here thinking about those who live in countries where they do not have the religious freedom that some of us have. They have government oppression. We have people who are within Sojo Academy right now, which is our sister ministry site, who are living with a lot of fear from their government, societal forces that are hostile to God, the things of God, scripture. that is, they have real like presence of darkness in their lives.
And we may actually get there in this country as well.
We might.
In the United States. I mean, we probably will.
Yes. Well, and even within our country, in the United States of America, if you go into certain workplaces and take a stand for the name of Christ.
Certain cities, even.
Right. You are going to be opposed.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And sometimes even violently.
Well, 1 Peter 5, okay, 8 and 10, kind of 8 through 10 kind of says this. If we all know these verses, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. That's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, that still applies to us today. And then verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So he's giving this, in 1 Peter, he's giving this reminder, this warning, you have an enemy, but then he turns right back around and says, but God has it. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of our passage here. So, you know, our passage here is says, you know, who can be against us? There are people against us, but you need to know that God is for you. And that trumps who's against you.
Yeah, it definitely trumps. But I think sometimes we can give such a flat Sunday school answer and say, oh, you know, God's sovereign, he's stronger, he's bigger and better, without really saying, okay, well, but this presence is really in my life. I mean, it really does exist, you know, and it's kind of going back to Joseph, you know, when his brothers finally came to him and said, you know, we did wrong. And they were afraid that he was going to lash out at them. And he said, you meant it for evil. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't back down from that reality. Mm-hmm. You meant this for evil in my life. It was bad.
But
God meant it for good. And I think understanding both of those is, it's like we're not giving some flippant answer. We're recognizing the gravity of the situation and concluding that God is stronger, you know, but we're not rushing to get there. We're actually considering that opposition, that pain, the reality that we live in a broken, fallen, hostile world right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't think anybody who is alive would question the fact that, you know, it is hostile.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are, I guess there's a balance there. There's a real balance because I have known Christians who, like you said, who do are kind of above it all, you know, like, or they say they are. That's why they counsel others. Well, you know, God is greater, which is true. But then there's another ditch you can fall off of. And that is everybody's against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So there's this balance that it's a fine line that we all have to sort of walk in, recognizing our enemy, but recognizing too, knowing what power the enemy actually has over us, which is really none.
Right. Yeah.
And then recognizing the reason that he has no power over us is because of God in us.
Right. I mean, I just, in my life, in my experience, and especially when I have gone through deep seasons of spiritual warfare, when I have known that, like, the target is clearly marked on my back and those arrows are aimed at it, like I was in the line of fire, it was not helpful for believers to come and say, oh, you know, all things work together for good. That is true. That is very true. But I needed someone to understand that there was a reality to that painful process of being in the line of fire and the danger of it and how scary it could be and how intense.
Maybe even more, not more than, but in addition to understanding this in your own life is understand. And really the only way to completely understand it is to remind yourself of it over and over and over again and who you are in Christ. But it's maybe another takeaway is how you respond to others that are going through these trials and difficulties. Right. And I mean, it kind of does remind me of, like, if you are in a church that does short-term mission trips, there is a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of training that I feel like needs to be done that is not done in most churches, denominations, groups. I feel like that sometimes we go into these places and we give these platitudes and we like give, you know, like we're so all that. And that's not super helpful to a group of people who are living in it the day after we leave. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that, and that's a big example. A lot of us, you know, you may not have ever been in that particular situation, but I think we can also say that in our day-to-day life. We can counsel someone on the fact that God's good, but then, which is true, but then we're not necessarily standing with them the next morning when the accuser of the brethren comes in and beats them over the head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, I just think there's not only the balance for ourselves, but a balance for how we respond to others.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense? Because what you're saying is true. What you're saying, I mean, you have a different experience in that. When you walked through a dark place, you did not feel supported by your,
right.
From what I'm hearing, you do not feel supported by the people who are, to support you. And that's something that we need to all get better at as we're living life with other Christians.
Right. Yes. I think we can have very flippant answers that are still true. The answer itself is true. But we need some understanding that goes with it. And we need some coming alongside of to say, you know, I know this is hard and I know what it's like to be in those crosshairs and there's nothing easy about it, but we do have an overcomer who has won the victory, mm-hmm. you know, but give a little bit of gravity to the actual fight because it is a warfare. I mean, like the battle is won. But the war's still going on, you know, like we know the end result, but we're still here living it out.
Yes.
Yes, we are. Be it. Okay. And also, you know, just looking at Romans 8, you know, thinking about who can be against us, it's not just the principalities and powers and the devil and those who are hostile to God, but it can also be our own conscience. You know, we've talked about that too on the podcast, you know, the condemnation, the internal angst that we can feel, that groaning with all of creation, you know, because we live in a fallen world, all of the internal stuff that comes with it, that can be something we have to fight against as well. You know, all the internal forces. So I think there's just a lot more to this whole who can be against us. We need to understand, okay, well, who is against us? Sometimes it's my own mm-hmm. self, mm-hmm. you know, it's my own thinking. Mm-hmm. It's the lies maybe that I've been sold, you know, from a very early age about my identity or whatever the case may be. Those are all things that we need to say, okay, these are realities that can come against me as a believer standing in Christ Jesus. And yet here is the truth on which I can stand, the truth that overcomes that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the truth that is what we have to be reminded of frequently and remind others of comes in the next verse.
Yep.
In verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Mm-hmm. And that does not mean that that does mm-hmm. not mean that he will give you the earthly possessions.
Right.
That's not what that is.
He did not promise that.
He did not promise you a car, a house, any help, anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what it does say is that he will graciously give us all things, meaning what he's given us is all we need.
Right.
And I think when we come to realize that, it helps us when we go through those dark times too, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we know that it's not just that he will give us in the future, but he has given us. And he is giving us. And right. It's already done. If I am trusting in him, it's already, the battle's won. Yes, we're still fighting the war. Yes, I agree all that. But the gift has already been given to me, mm-hmm. and putting it in a little bit, put it in perspective does not necessarily help you when you wake up in the morning to remember that, because what you're gonna remember first and foremost is the hard things, because that's the way we are. But if we preach that to ourselves over and over, if you put the sticky notes on your bathroom mirror, if you get in the Word every day, if you pray the promises every day, you know, if you join a community of others, join a local body, join a community of women online, do something where others will encourage you as well, then that will help you to remember that a little more frequently, and that will then help you remember that God is for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think going back to the verse you just read, how will he not also freely give us all things? It is remembering just what you said, that what I truly need in this moment, I have.
Yes.
I have the real need met. Maybe it's not what I want. Maybe it's not the car I'd like. Maybe it's not the time I would need. Maybe it's not even the emotional stamina that I feel I need for this. Whatever it is I really truly do need, which ultimately is the person mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. I have. Because a lot of times, as we know, Scripture teaches us, it's in the very weakness that his strength is perfected.
Strength. Right.
It's in weakness.
Right.
So we have what we truly need. And if we were to believe that every moment of the day, that would transform our perspective.
Right. And it's not easy.
No.
We're not saying that's easy. Going back to what I just said earlier, it's not easy to remember and keep those things in perspective. But it is easier when you are disciplined in...
when we're training our thoughts.
And the things that, in thinking...
Yes.
In the spirit instead of in the flesh.
Right.
And keeping our mind on things above.
Yeah.
We will.
And taking our thoughts captive. Mm-hmm. And like Romans 8 earlier in the chapter says, mm-hmm. the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Mm-hmm. And these are the ways we have to continue thinking.
Yeah. Yep. I like it.
So Corella DeVille.
Last week, I think you said this was not the direction we were planning on going. In the conversation, if y'all listened to last week's episode, and this was not the direction.
I don't think this was either. No, it sure was not. Mm-mm.
No, but I think it was good, and it's a good reminder. Mm-hmm. And read Romans 8:31 today again and mm-hmm. again. Memorize it. Know it.
Yes.
Believe it.
God is
trust
for
it.
You.
Trust it.
Yeah.
Even when you don't feel it, trust it. And if you don't, if you haven't trusted in what Christ mm-hmm. has done on that cross, if you don't feel like you have taken that step, then number one, talk to somebody who you trust that you can talk to about. But also, if not, just trust him.
Yeah.
Trust in what he's done. Recognize yeah. that he died on that cross for you. Mm-hmm. Recognize that because of that, he took your sin. Mm-hmm. He exchanged it for his righteousness, and he's rescued you from the wrath of God.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as saying, I don't understand it, but I trust it.
I trust it. So that is our promise for today. The promise is
God is for us.
God is for us.
Yep.
All That's right.
A good one.
It is a good one. We would love to have you at sojoacademy.com. And we are also in the middle, slap dab middle of Praying the Promises of the Cross, which is a free mm-hmm. challenge at sojohub.com/promises. So we'll link all those below. You don't have to remember those websites. And come and join us. We would love to have you and to meet you. And leave us a comment. Also, I'm giving you all the things to do. Leave us a comment and let us know what your thoughts are on this. Because it's, you know, we want to hear from you too. And then we'll be back next week.
We sure will.
To talk about something else.
From Romans 8.
From Romans 8. It'll be a promise. It'll be a promise. We promise.
And it'll be good.
Well, I don't know about that promise.
Well, the verse will.
The verse will be good. The episode may not be, but that promise will be. All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. It's AJ here with a personal question. Do you ever long to connect with other women over God's word? If so, I'd like to personally invite you to be part of our online Bible study community. Sojo Academy is where Jen and I meet via Zoom every week with our global community to discuss God's word, pray, and share what we are learning with each other. In Sojo Academy, you'll get a fresh Bible study every month, as well as weekly meetups, Bible journaling kits, accountability, community, and an entire library of workshops and Bible study tutorials. Jumpstart your walk with God and come hang out with us live this week. Visit sojoacademy.com and we'll see you inside.
Remember when we first started recording, we bring up our webcam and the mic and all the things?
Yeah, and we like sat in our closets.
We did. When we were together, the first time we were together. We had our webcam out, we had our mic, and now we're just like in the middle of this
and
big
lighting. Room. We like
in a little small room.
We took 10 minutes to set everything up.
Now we're like on the kitchen table in this huge room with no
after
microphone.
I literally woke up from a nap.
No microphone, no webcam.
Okay, here we go.
Just kind of angle it.
But it's actually like doing something.
I hope you can hear us.
Hey peeps.
All right, you start this one. Go.
You're making me start it? I don't even know what to ask.
Just welcome to the okay. Show.
All right, I can do that.
Yes, you can.
All right.
Wait.
What are our verses?
We're not waiting. I forgot the verses already.
It's Romans
31.
I can do that.
Are there areas in your life where you feel like you need to simplify a bit? My guess is yes. Several years ago, AJ and I identified 7 areas that we felt like were important to simplify in order to focus on most important things in life and primarily our relationship with God. What we are doing is pulling that out of the vault, and we are doing Simplify Your Life Summer 2024 edition. We invite you to join us. We are excited about it and look forward to seeing you there. Go check out sojohub.com/simplify for more information.